Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So,
all right, we good to go?
You want to slate?
Yeah, all right,
can I slate?
Oh, he likes to slate.
It is my dear pleasure.
Do the thing, bro.
Let's make out podcast. Take one.
Hey. All right, so on three, and we're all gonna clap into the mics. Okay, ready? Okay,
you got to take
okay. This. Oh, okay, all right. All right, 3, 2, 1.
Just one clap.
Okay, we're gonna try that again, y'all.
We all were on the same page.
I told you Eric wasn't gonna charge.
3, 2, 1.
Hey.
What's up?
What's going on, peeps? Welcome back to the Let's Make Out podcast, where we make out what?
All things love, life, and laughter.
That's right.
So. Jinx.
If you're watching, you can see this. But if you're listening, we have our first ever guest.
Are we?
Oh, your first guest?
First ever guest.
We broke your guest hymen.
You want to get dragged? Do you want to get dragged?
T.I.
I didn't say anything. Hey. I cannot.
Okay.
What you know about?
Okay, so this is going to be all bad.
Oh, you can't put us next to each other.
I'm so excited about this.
Yes.
We have none other than Mr. and Mrs. Kev on stage.
Praise the Lord.
Melissa and Kevin Frederick.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
From the Love the Hour podcast. I know. I mean, everybody know what their government name is. It ain't a secret.
That's true. That's true.
A lot of people think my name is Kevon.
Yes, they do.
Oh,
that
do they really?
Make sense. Kevon on stage?
What, Kevon it, stage? Wasn't it a Kevon? Kevon Edmonds?
Well, just be Kev on stage.
Kev
on.
See? So maybe
so you added stage to your name.
Oh, well, I guess that's true.
All right, his real name is Kevon. Thank you. We, you know, first to learn it here.
So, yes, we just did an episode of the Love Hour podcast, which was amazing.
It was.
Yes. So
I agree. I was there.
Please make sure we'll put it in the show notes. You guys can go and check it out. But we kind of want to continue the conversation.
When's it dropping, y'all? When is it dropping
Thanksgiving.
Again?
Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, yeah.
Thanksgiving Day.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, this will be way after Thanksgiving. It'll be the next week. So it dropped last week.
Yes.
So go listen to it and then, you know, all of that stuff. But what we like to do here, we like to get started with a question of the day.
Okay.
Should we do an intro or something?
Oh, yeah. Cue the music, Shawnee.
Okay.
I forgot all about
it. I put
the
on
music.
My phone. We ready, y'all.
Look.
Oh, it's not working. Okay.
Hey. I like it.
This is the music.
Yeah, that's
the only your channel.
Yeah.
All right. That was awkward.
All right. But why you ain't even finish the music?
Well, he didn't believe in it. He didn't get the reaction.
It just didn't feel right. Yeah, didn't feel right.
It fixed it in post.
I wasn't one with it.
Yeah. I wasn't one with it.
Yeah.
I can't. I can't never get the music right with Babe. Like, yeah. and I look for that. Hey,
it's called post production.
Anyway, so we're gonna start off with the question of the day. So you guys can pick a number between 1 and.
Well, hang on a second. Let's let Kevin and Melissa introduce themselves. I mean. We know who they are. Most
That's
people
right.
in
You're
the
right.
world know who they are.
You're right.
But yeah, so.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Please.
I'm Kevin Allen Fredericks.
Hello.
I was born in El Paso, Texas, May 1st, 1980.
Were you
maybe
really
maybe
born
not
in
so
El Paso?
Deep. Maybe,
yes.
maybe not so deep.
Really? Yeah. You did not know
maybe not so deep.
We don't need to start from the beginning.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I'm
toes
a
in the water,
comedian,
deep. Okay?
Podcaster, producer, husband, and friend. I do stand-up comedy. I actually met Gabe and Babe at a stand-up comedy show in Indianapolis.
Yes.
And then I saw that I was in their vlog, and I was like, cool. And then people were like, yeah, I know him. I know y'all. This is great. Yeah. Oh, cool.
You were the thumbnail.
I was the thumbnail. I was so happy. I was so happy. And people always say, oh, I'm a YouTuber. And I'd be like, oh, good job, little kid. But then I saw y'all pages. I was like, oh, no, they do this for real. Like, I got a lot of followers from being in y'all vlog. Also jealous of your vlog, which I talked at length about in another hour podcast of how well you guys do it.
Their vlog is coming soon.
Definitely not. He said it was the elf in the room. There was no elf.
I'm not using that thing right.
I wanted to say that the way you used it was very Doughboy-ish.
I wanted to say that
and I forgot.
I'm assuming the elephant in the room is something that I wanted to say, but that's the elephant in the room is something everyone knows about.
But nobody wants to say.
Yes, and that was the elephant in my room is that you guys are great vloggers and I am not. So, but y'all, that wasn't an elephant.
Moral of the story, he has an elephant is right. Hopefully it's stuffed.
Yeah, so that's who I am.
Okay.
Yes.
I am Melissa. I am the wife to the Kev on Stage. I am a child. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like I'm trying to figure it out this year. I'm currently hosting the Love Hour podcast. I am figuring it out.
You engineer is flawless.
I am figuring
you
it out.
You are a podcast host. You are an author. You're hosting your first conference. Stop talking about yourself like you ain't sure about yourself.
Lift up your wife.
Yes. You're a mother. No, know, man, right? I'm okay. sick of it. Stop trying to make a girl. I don't even know. I just try to do a thing or two. You done wrote and self-published a whole book.
But you know what that tells about her? You know what that tells about her? That she's humble.
It's out now.
Nah, man. She's engineer smallest, Chad. And I'm sick of it.
See, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, man.
This is what you're supposed to do.
You can say with confidence that I'm a podcast host, an author, and speaker. You have done that. You got paid to do that.
You are making big things happen.
Yeah, you can completely say that and be well
without
within your
you, right. Kev would be Kev with no stage.
You're right.
There'd be no stage.
There'd be no stage. I would have crawled under a bridge somewhere in South Central, shaking.
I can't. Oh, my goodness.
All right, now let's run it back. Who are you?
Okay. Hi, my name is Melissa Frederick.
No, you speaking to that, Meg. I have pride.
Deeper voice.
I have power.
I am the host of the Love Hour podcast.
I
host the Love Hour podcast with my husband where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. And I am hosting my first conference that you two will be in attendance.
There you go.
I'm super excited about. That will be next year in Atlanta, Georgia. And what else did you tell
me to
say?
Speaker and author.
And I am a speaker and author.
Yes.
There you go.
Look at that.
Yes. Now put some respect on your own name.
Put some respect on it, okay? I love that.
That's amazing.
Aww, that was an intro. How you supposed
to let me tell you what, man.
Spouse.
Men, we be talking confident with least
what
amount of stuff.
Is that? That men you know,
I put new shoelaces in my shoes this morning.
What?
Like, why?
True. There's a man calling himself a writer that just tweets. Like, I'm a writer. Now, you ain't,
it's
though.
So
you a tweeter.
True, though. Yes. I think I read something about that, how, like, men in job interviews will go in so much more confidently. They will apply for a job that they're not even qualified for.
Bro, I can figure it out. My last job, I was completely unqualified for.
What
they didn't know that
till
I was already working.
See?
They're like, shoot, he did
all
what?
Right, you in there
I'm
now.
Here. I'm in
Look,
there now. I figured it out.
Have you ever touched a computer?
Me and Melissa were talking about, I hate to be off subject, but Melissa and her sister are so talented. They won't go for jobs that their people are telling
that
them,
are
hey,
telling
come
them,
apply.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm worthy. Bro, what? How much you paid? Yeah, I could do it. What is it?
Closed mouths don't get fed.
Astronaut.
Closed mouths don't get fed.
I think that that's a common thing with women and men.
And that's why women don't get paid.
There were.
Absolutely.
We don't negotiate.
It starts with the introduction of yourself.
You low key just said a word.
You run that back.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, because that was powerful. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now y'all ready to pick a number?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to pick a number between.
Number one, because that's who I am. See, it's just a whole man thing.
Okay.
700. Between 1 and 290.
703.
Oh, okay.
I feel like there's another question.
293, you said?
291.
I think 291.
26. That was the day we got
married. Well, I think you had the. You want to do two? Or you? Let's
no,
see.
No. 26.
26.
26.
26?
We got married on the 26th.
Okay. Oh, did you? Of what?
June. I was going to do 626, but there was only 200.
Okay.
26 or 15. We've been married 15 years.
26, show.
8.
So divided by 7 times pi.
Okay. So question 26, the book of questions. You meet someone at a party and absolutely know that if you talk to him, he'll make you tens of millions of dollars.
Okay.
But after 2 years, you'll go bankrupt and have to scramble to get back on your feet. Would you start the conversation? Assume that if you do, your knowledge of what's in store for you will vanish.
Ah, dang.
That was good. That last little piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll let you go first.
Dang.
Damn, that last little sentence messed up my whole thing.
Mine too.
It does.
But see, like, I think I would still talk to him.
I do too.
Yeah.
I would rather. I talk to Melissa about this all the time because I'm on, like, let's go on vacation. We work hard. Let's see the world. It's very important to me. And Melissa's always like, what if we run out of money? We already went on vacation. They can't take
they
my
can't
memories.
Take your memories.
I can be broke. I've been broke.
Yeah, more than I've been. You can't repossess my memories.
You can't. If I've been to Amsterdam, I've
that's
been.
That's a good that one.
You can't repossess my memories. I've already been to Amsterdam. No matter what happens in my life. Barring, like, there. You know, dementia.
Yeah.
If I'm broke, I've been broke a lot for longer. Yes. I was happy. I grew up poor.
Because money does
poor.
Not.
It doesn't equate to happiness. Yeah. So I'd rather make the $10 million if I have to lose it all, if I never get it back.
Yeah.
I had it once. You know, I used to have $10 million, boy.
You're going to live it up for them 2 years. Okay.
I just want my barbecue sauce. I used to have $10 million. Here you go, sir. Thank you. Come again. But just know, before I was handing out nugs, I had $10 million.
Stories for a lifetime.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Give me the money.
It's true. What about you, Melissa?
But do you think that. So my initial answer was I would have the conversation as well. Let me enjoy and live life. But do you think upon that third year, looking back on it, you would be miserable because you wouldn't be able to enjoy being broke because
you remembered, knew what you were missing.
You know now that you
were missing.
It's
different to be broke when you don't know what it's like to have.
That is true.
That's what I'm
saying. It's a
different
conversation.
That is true. We were talking about that on the set of Spectrum, my commercial yesterday. I don't mean to brag, but
hey, go ahead,
tell
throw
you
that
what
out
was
there.
Weird. I didn't even tell Melissa about this yet. It was hot, so they had a guy who would like hold an umbrella on the side for me, and they would.
That's how you know you made it.
They wouldn't let me do it, and when I was like, "Let me hold it," the dude was like, "If you hold it, then I ain't got no job."
Right.
And I was thinking, like, Denzel Washington, Will Smith, they've been catered to like that for 25 years.
Yeah.
You and then they imagine him having to go back to working at Target. Like, you're going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, being broke and never having it is different. But I think in my mind, I could probably be like, man, that was some great times.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I'm cool with whatever happened. Because life is to be lived.
Right. It is. And then there's always the other question, like, okay, well, what if the 2 years never come? What if something happened and you don't make it to when it vanishes?
Fetty Wap had 2 years
not what
that were great.
That's not what the question said,
I know that
said,
wasn't the question, but you have to think about it. Like, you got to live life. All of these what ifs and... I'm all for saving money, yes, but live the life. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, you making the money.
I always talk about this.
Enjoy it.
I always talk about how I never want to forget where I came from.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? So money shouldn't change that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Money shouldn't change the person, like, fundamentally who you are, right? Mm-hmm. It should not. When it does, well, then that's a deeper issue, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, like, it can allow you to have a better life. You can do more things, right? Have more things. But you as a person should still be that person, right?
The core person should be the same.
The core person, I think it just amplifies.
With or without money,
right.
You should be that person. Yes. So if you can find happiness regardless of the amount of money, then it might be a change of lifestyle, but you could still be happy.
You know what's funny about that, Chad? AKA babe? I was talking to my kids because I was feeling heavily guilty about working so hard because I was like, I feel the burden. Me and Melissa are trying to get a house in LA, which requires a large amount of sacrifice.
You want to say prayer now?
Right. I'm going to have to do a lot more. I've been selling my body on Christian Mingle. So I was talking to my kids last tour, like, what is important to you? Because we want to pay for their college and have all this experience. And they were like, actually, man, just spending time with you guys is enough. And they're like, you know, really we like the Ritz and we like going on vacation, but we also like playing Uno or Phase 10. Like, and just hearing them say that was so, like, it like left relieved a burden being like, man, we just have.
That's a question
my
that
son told me.
That's a great question.
You know what I like? Though, I just want to say this thing and I'll say another thing. my son said, we took him to therapy one time, and he said, when you are home, it feels funner at home.
Yeah.
It feels lighter at home. It's nothing against mommy because she does her thing, but that she's not the, like, you know, walk in their room and fart. Like, that's, they're like, come on. We scare each other. They scare my wife. She almost broke my son's nose.
Sure did.
She was like, he scared her. So she was just like, her reaction, like, he almost was like, I'm not doing that again.
Chad they
scare,
is
we
the,
scare each
the
other all the time. You know, and the other thing about parenting I realize is, your kids are teaching you how to be a better parent.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you're learning. And I also give my parents a lot more grace
because I'm realizing they didn't know what the heck they were doing.
They was figuring it out.
We just hand you a baby, bro.
ain't no manual.
I took more classes and preparation to put burger patties in a grill thing at Burger King than to have my kid. They just hand me the kid like, all right, fam, next baby. Like,
they just checked the car seat. They checked the car seat more than they did. You ready to be a parent.
Make sure you can put the car seat in. I don't know how to feed it. That ain't my problem, bro.
Car seat's good. You good.
Right.
Leave our hospital.
Leave our hospital now. Someone else is going to be having a baby, so we need the room.
Yeah, we got to do better. I think that's true, though, but I think that's a great point because
it's really good.
We put so much pressure on ourselves as parents, and I think a lot of it stems from trying to parent better than you were parented.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's just like, I got to provide the best. I got to do the things. Yeah. And it's like, meanwhile, our kids, they don't need all of that. You know, it's great, but they like, just they sit just down and love. Watch this movie with me. Can we cuddle?
We just
like,
watch love. The
that's
for
it. You know what I'm saying? So that's really good. Something to think about.
But it ties into what we were talking on your guys' podcast about, you know, it's the simple things in life.
Yeah.
Right? It's the simple things that don't involve money is what brings happiness.
Right.
So like that hug when my son gets off the bus and runs up and squeezes me.
Like, you can't put a dollar amount on that.
It's priceless.
Like, I literally, there's no dollar amount. When Reagan comes down the stairs and or when she hears my voice in the morning, mom's up there getting ready and she's like daddy.
Face
God, like I'm just, and then she runs to me.
Meanwhile, I'm like, your face didn't light up when I walked in this room this morning. But that's okay. That's okay. You know what I'm saying? I know daddy's your favorite. It's all right.
I just carried you. All I did is give you love.
Give you life and feed you for 2 years
with
a permanent
scar on my body.
And as soon as that's over with, as soon as the breastfeeding is done, the kids go and they love daddy.
There's that vein popping again.
That's all it is. It's,
he ain't breastfeeding. You ain't breastfeeding.
It's all right.
No, I mean, but you know, I hold her close to my bosom, but I ain't got no milk. I ain't got no milk to get.
I can't deal with you. Okay. Just kind of
tip the.
So do you have an answer? Babe, do you have an answer? What would you do? Would you would you have the conversation?
Yeah, I would. I'd have the conversation.
I think across the board, we'd all have the conversation.
I'd be like, you know what, hey, man, you know, could I get, you know, $5 million and then 2 years from now, get another $5 million, try to, you know, finagle.
All I want to know is, can I take the millions
can I invest?
And like, throw them to the side? Can I do an offshore account or something? Maybe some of
can I be broke in the United States of America, but not in, you know, Switzerland?
Okay, so let us know what your thoughts are. What would you do? Would you have the conversation?
Yes.
Could you go back to being broke after being rich? Let us know your thoughts about that. So now we're going to kind of get into the topic. This is going to be a continuation of what we talked about on their podcast, but we're going to go a little bit deeper and talk about, is your relationship doomed or is it cursed because of social media? And kind of a little background about that is that you guys know you're watching us on YouTube. We've been on YouTube for 8 years now, our whole marriage. And we kind of started with a lot of other YouTubers who are now experiencing divorces and they're not together. And we've gotten so many questions about, how do you guys feel about it? Why don't y'all talk about it? Do you think, you know, so like, are you guys going to break up? Don't break up, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, first of all.
Or are people supposed to say, yes. Yes, we are.
You know what I'm
We're
saying?
Actually holding on together just for the vlog.
Just for the vlog.
That's the plan.
We love each other in years.
Like, yes. And that's the thing. It's one of those things where I wasn't really sure I wanted to talk about it because, for one, a lot of those couples are our friends.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm never going to say anything to talk about them or speculate, you know what I'm saying? Because we don't know. Like,
and we're still not going to do that on this one either. So
this is not what this is about. Yeah. But I thought that since we are talking to another couple that is living their lives in public, so to speak, like, do you feel like there is a higher percentage or a higher risk that things won't work out because you've put so much out there?
Do you want to talk?
I was just going to say that I think when you look at divorce rate in like general population versus divorce rates in Hollywood, they are higher percentage wise. You're more likely to get divorced if you're in Hollywood versus the population. So there is a certain amount of pressure that exists with the lifestyle of your relationship being out for the viewing public's consumption. And I think the reason why is something that we kind of touched on in our podcast is the magnifying glass of your faults and then people jumping on board and then terrorizing or nitpicking or, you know, choosing sides or bashing you. And then you end up reliving those over and over and over again. And so I don't think that there is a such thing as being like cursed or whatever. I just think that that's a lot of pressure to add to a fragile institution that's marriage already. You know what I mean? That's a lot of pressure. And if you don't have good communication skills, if you don't have the thick skin that we were talking about, if you don't have a solid base, a solid foundation, that's a lot of pressure that you're adding, and you find those cracks, and then they're just exacerbated by the cameras.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons we've been offered a reality TV show
several times.
And one of the reasons we never did it is because, one, it adds more pressure and more of a spotlight on your life, even more than social media. Absolutely. People still consume a lot of television. And two, the need to create storylines for the show can also create those storylines in real life. And those producers are not, they don't care whether you are really happy or not.
They're not in the business of seeing
what's going to happen.
Ratings,
they
want ratings. A good story. Yeah. The worst thing you can do is happily boring. For a TV show.
Right.
And also we're raising children.
Boring.
Yeah. We're raising children in the real world in real time, and we don't want to screw them up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of times kids don't want to be on TV or in videos. You know, it's funny, we this is a little unrelated but related. Somebody said a lot of times we don't allow children to be in bad moods.
Right.
Like, we expect them to be happy. At all times. Like, but you're in a bad mood as an adult. Right, you know what I mean? So, and then to force them to be on camera when they didn't want to be, and then to get mad at them if they didn't, like, that just seemed like it's bad enough to grow up and try to raise them on the straight and narrow without all that stuff. Adding that seemed like a lot. But to answer your initial question, the majority of our friends that got married at around the time we got married got divorced, unrelated to social media. So me and Melissa, and in addition to Melissa's parents, some pastors, like, so it was like, I felt like we were like the only ones that made it out of that thing, because it was like everybody we knew was getting divorced. And I was like, yo, what is, and some were like friends for 8 years, got married and divorced within 1 year. And I was like, okay, that's unusual.
Do you feel like there's and this is different because Chad and I, when we always talk about it, like, you know, in our private time, what we feel like works best for us.
She said private time.
What? In our private time? Because I don't know that we've actually really verbalized this, but I feel like one of the main reasons we are able to be so strong in our relationship is because of the foundation.
Absolutely.
And the communication and how it started. And we didn't get married until we were 29. So both of us have had, we had whole lives. Whole lives before we got together. Mistakes were made.
Successes
happened. Previous marriage on Chad's part. So it's, we had a whole,
Wait a minute. Y'all ain't tell me that on the side.
But so a lot of times we're like, I feel like a lot of times you're seeing people who grew up together and then grew apart.
Absolutely.
Yes. So it's like you started so young that you didn't live your life.
You didn't get to sow those wild oats.
I think I would love to get your experience on it, because you guys did start young.
We got married at 8 months old. No, we got married, we were 21 and 20. And people love to romanticize that. And it is romantic. High school sweethearts.
The struggle love.
Married in college.
We done been through so much. We done did all of that.
Beans and bread.
It's not
So, but one of the drawbacks of that is there's a lot of development that happens in your life naturally from 21 to 30 outside of a relationship. Just the way you see the world. Like, we started college together. We were dating in high school, college, got married in college. And growing into who you're going to become and doing that with someone else can be difficult as well, because Melissa is not the same person she was at 20 years. She was 20 years old when we got married.
Well,
36? Five, six? 36. 6 years old. The math always throws me off, because you got, your birthday was right before you got married. But there, I mean, there's a version of her that's there, yeah. but like, and some of the ways she changed, especially over the last year as she came off her job and kind of joined me in business mm-hmm. together, mm-hmm. like that was a humongous change. And it could have been a marriage altering yeah. change yeah. if we didn't know how to navigate it. So that's the part that people don't understand is like, if you, like at 29, you guys are, you know, close to 30, like there's a, you're more set in your ways in a lot of different things, you know, you're more sure of yourself yeah. in a lot of different right. ways. Yeah. Whereas me and Melissa literally had to grow up, become adults together, parents yeah. at the same time. We Everything. Were kids 2 years mm-hmm. into our marriage. All that was happening simultaneously, and yeah. that adds a lot of extraneous pressure. It adds a lot,
and you had to intentionally work through that together.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think that's the trouble sometimes that you can see with like Hollywood and like online mm-hmm. relationships is that your relationship then becomes more of a business mm-hmm. than it becomes this private relationship.
Yeah. Yes.
So when you talk about we have this solid foundation, we have these private moments still, that's important because when everything is out for the public, you become captive to your audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you feel, I'm unhappy, I want to have these conversations, but if I do, it's at the expense of my lifestyle.
Yeah, I think yeah. that's
it's at the expense
that's
of
exactly where I was coming in with that. I think that's perfect. Is that yeah, you I think that for us, we said this from the get go. For one, was, you know, divorce wasn't an option. Mm-hmm. Like that we didn't get married to have divorce on the table, right?
Right.
Just, so it's not something we discussed because right. it just wasn't an option, right? Right. We're gonna do whatever we gotta do to make it work. We gotta make it work. You know, Neo song, right? and so that's my jam. Mm-hmm. And but then also we were never going to do anything business wise or for money that would jeopardize,
right.
mm-hmm. you know, what we have when it comes to our family, yes. you know, our faith and our kids.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it gets tricky is that if you start worrying about, again, like what you just said about what your business is, what you're making money. And if you're making money off of being a married couple with yeah. kids, yeah. right?
Yes.
Then
you have a vested interest in keeping yeah. that.
Then you want to keep that together.
Right. You have
that image. Not necessarily yeah. the truth of it.
Yeah, but what, you know, if you're starting to have issues, but you're keeping together, staying together for the business sake, are you maintaining, are you going to therapy? Are you trying to yeah. work on what the issues yep. are? Because if you're not, if you just think that, you know what, the money's still coming in, we're making yeah. it happen,
right.
you know, like, you know, people can get trapped in that, mm-hmm. you know, and that's one thing we always talk about. If we ever get to the point where we're having issues or it becomes stressful, we're going to get that addressed.
Yeah, like, I mean, right. we gotta stop, you know yeah, what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly.
Like, it is our livelihood, but long after YouTube, I'm still going to want my husband.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, you are what's more important to me
too,
than this money, than this notoriety. Like, it's what's more important. And I think yeah. that you have to be honest with yourself and say, okay, we got to take a step back.
And I think that's the problem is, or one of the issues is probably people don't have that solid priority, mm-hmm. which is always my marriage is first.
Right.
Yes. My kids and my marriage are first. No yeah. matter what, I will turn things down always and forever. It is so easy for me to say no if my marriage is being sacrificed, mm-hmm. if something for my kids is being sacrificed. And if you don't have that order correct, then it doesn't matter and you yes. will go through the motions
yeah. yep.
and will. Be unhappy. And
be.
I just never want to find myself in that position. It's also part of the reason why I check myself. I do a lot of self-checks, actually. I stopped saying happy birthday to my kids on social media. This is my own personal mm-hmm. thing. Do whatever y'all do what you want to do.
Yeah.
This is me personally. Part of the reason I stopped doing it is because my kids don't have Instagram. Mm. My kids don't have Facebook. I'm doing this for the likes and validation of other people.
Mm. Mm, that's big.
Did I say happy birthday to my kids?
Yeah.
Did I spend right. time with my kids?
Did I buy my kids?
Who cares what you think?
If you think that's I did fine. Or not.
Exactly.
I know I did.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I stopped doing that. Literally, I stopped doing that because I had to check myself and realize I'm doing this for other people, mm. not for my kids. Stop it.
That's big,
and
yeah.
it got to the point where I kind of just stopped altogether. And my sister's birthday was, this just came up. Last
it's
week,
fresh guys.
Okay,
fresh.
So I made this decision.
It,
I
situation.
Didn't wish my sister a happy birthday.
Ooh.
And mind you, I didn't do it on Facebook. We were on a cruise on her actual birthday. I sent her a text the day before her birthday. I gave her a nice sum of money for her birthday. Mm-hmm. We're on the cruise. You know,
internet be spotty.
Just cruising.
Yeah.
Just cruising.
But oh, yeah, you know, it'd be
no Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it'd be spotty. So on the day of her birthday, we did have Wi-Fi. I sent her a happy birthday, but I didn't post it. Yes. So my sister's fine with it. This last week, Kevin's cousin had a birthday. I wished her happy birthday on Facebook because Kevin's cousin.
Oh, my goodness.
So Melissa. Someone is a mutual friend between me and my sister, and she goes to my sister and says, I don't know if you noticed, but your sister didn't wish you happy birthday, but she just wished Kevin's cousin, and that's not even your cousin, that's Kevin's cousin, a happy birthday. Mm-hmm. So my sister calls me, and I'm like, okay, yo, so listen. Don't allow other people. First thing I said, don't allow other people to create an issue that's not an issue.
Yeah. Yep.
That's first of all. Second of all, I did wish you happy birthday, and I don't need to do anything for other people. You are my sister, and there is nothing, and I mean this, put me to the test.
Yeah.
There is nothing I won't do for my sister. There are plenty of things that I do for her all the time, okay? And she's like, I just want you to know, like, people are watching, whatever. And so I ended up the very next day, because I'm be petty sometimes, wishing her a happy birthday. So I was happy belated birthday to my sister. Now you can go run and tell dad. It's literally what my post said.
I love the petty.
Now you can run
and
tell dad.
Sure. Did you really?
Yes.
And you know that's petty.
It is. Oh, my God.
Because I want you to know that this isn't for my sister. This is one. Yeah. It's not for her. Me and my sister were cool. This is for you. And this is for everybody to know. The moment that I feel that's like hilarious. I am doing things for other people. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Monique. Okay. I love you.
That's
I
felt like so I texted
you. You know what's crazy about that? It's more. Since when is getting wished a happy birthday on social media more important than face to face happy birthday?
And that's what I said.
I think that everybody likes that.
Public attention.
And I made the decision to just not do, if you are not Chad or my kids or my mama or my grandmother, I'm not wishing you, because I got too many friends. I can't be filling up my feed with a special picture and a special thanks, and then I feel
so stressful
bad because they do it for me, and I'm like,
like, I'll
hope
text
that they
you
don't
birthday,
expect that
text
back,
you.
Or that they don't feel like I love you any less because I don't do it publicly.
Right.
But then also, you got to look at it like, my Instagram feed is my business.
Right.
So my business.
Man, you could tell people that.
It is run off of my life and my family. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, me posting a random picture of you telling everybody how much I love you because it's your birthday. I mean, I could do it, but then.
It's not like a personal
account
like that.
If I slight somebody, you run the risk of coming to this, and it's like, you know what I'm saying, like, you can't, but
you.
But that's also like when people will come in and they'll attach their opinions and their thoughts. Like, I'll never forget, one of our most popular videos is when Chad's dad passed, and I, you know, was on the thumbnail crying because it was a scene where he had left, he had already went to Alabama, and I had to tell the people, like, you know, we're about to take a break. Unfortunately, Chad's dad passed, and I couldn't get it out. Like, I was legit.
It just
mourning.
Happened that
it,
day.
It was that day, and I was mourning. And I never forget, the next year, my great grandfather passed, and nobody saw me crying on camera. And it became this, oh, you was doing all of that crying for Chad's dad, but your whole great grandfather died, and you didn't do it. And it was like, but I didn't even tell y'all until like a week later. Like, are you a fool?
Hold on, let me, my cry coming.
It was legit. She
literally, at the end of the vlog, you know, was just trying to tell them.
And I was just like, oh, let me put this clip in here because we're going to stop filming. Like, they're not going to see us. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't even think about it. Like, hindsight, I probably wouldn't have done that, but. I mean, and people still talk about how much I loved Chad's dad and mourned him, but I didn't even have the same reaction
what people
with my own family
but
member
what people
passed.
Don't think about like, it is that, for one, what people don't think about is, one, she mourned,
crazy.
She mourned, you know, she mourned and cried before she ever
right, it was a whole week later.
Him. But also, she had never seen her husband mourn
exactly. I don't think that that's what people realize.
There's two dynamics to that. One, she
you're hurt for his
she's
hurt.
If you've never seen your spouse experience that type of a loss, I have never seen Chad like
that. Breaking my heart right now.
And just
go ahead.
Just even
the
thought of that, like, literally, it was like, it was not. I love my father-in-law, But it was more so about that look in his eye, how we were on the highway
driving
and had to get in the shoulder so he could break down. Like, that was what the emotion was. But it's just like people take what you put out there and they make it this truth. They create
their own narrative.
They create their own narrative. And it's like, if you don't have that strong base,
100%,
then it can get in and it can tear your relationship up because then you start looking like, oh, well, maybe you know what that comment.
That's right.
They did say that, and oh, you did look at me funny, or you didn't. Yeah.
I'm gonna watch that clip. That you know what? You thing. Did look you know at me. I'm why you side eye me right there?
Something you actually felt that's been validated by somebody on the outside,
that makes
or
it even worse.
They're validating you in a way your spouse doesn't.
Yeah,
that's it can warp your mind.
Yes,
you know what I mean. It can warp your mind.
It can cloud. It can completely cloud your judgment. And I don't think clouding your, I think when your judgment gets clouded, that's bad regardless.
Yeah. Right.
It's because it's not your judgment. You're starting to take other feedback. And if you don't think things through, or you react in the moment, or you live the what someone else's opinion is, then it can cause these issues.
You know, it's funny. I actually let social media get to me in our marriage this year. Melissa, it was Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. Mother's Day. And I want her to have these shoes. You know what I'm saying? Louis Vuitton. You feel me? Had a good year. I
mean, red bottom.
You know, red bottom.
You had to.
Listen to Cardi B. Want to do what she said. You know? So I got Melissa these red bottom shoes that I liked. Mm. I mean, big, gaudy, shiny. I mean, shiny.
They wasn't her style.
Wasn't her style. But did I care?
No.
No. They are my style. Give them to her on Mother's Day. Got the phone up. Put it on the Instagram story.
Mm.
Her reaction wasn't what I liked. Okay, I was like,
did you post it anyway?
Yes, posted did. It anyway. Oh.
I don't think he was actually as quite aware in the moment.
I definitely wasn't.
That your reaction was.
You were so excited for yourself.
I was so excited
that you didn't notice that she wasn't.
People were going to say to
about
me
you.
Because of what I did.
You're a great husband.
Oh, and the DM responses started to flow in. Oh my gosh, Kev, you're great. She doesn't. Not she doesn't deserve, but she's so worthy of this, and I'm so proud of y'all. And yes, man. Yeah, and I'm
it
just soaking it
good.
Up. Just, say these words to me. I like it. Later in the next week, she called me. I'm at the gym trying to get my life together. Didn't have a great workout. I was just up in there looking at the strong people, and I left. I was like, man, I'm out of here. She calls me. You know, Kev, you know, these weren't really my thing. Like, you know me. And I really, if on hindsight, I really didn't. This not her style at all. But my ego was hurt more than my,
100%.
You know, than anything else. Yeah. So I respond in anger. Okay. I'm going to share with y'all what I said.
Yeah.
Okay. Audience, forgive me. I know we just met. I said, well, you know what? She said she didn't like him. I want to take him back and get
another
style of shoe. Another.
Oh, not just take him back. Just
I just want to get another style of shoe that I can wear. Because these definitely were, and I at least knew this, they definitely weren't.
These were like a lingerie piece?
They were like a Cinderella type shoe.
Oh, okay.
It was
okay,
like
okay.
a once in a lifetime.
Okay.
I'm going to the Grammys.
You got to rent a pumpkin coach.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and when she told me she wanted to take him back, I said, you know what? A lot of women would have appreciated those.
Ooh.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You said that?
I said. Now, in context, one of the things in our marriage we were working on was honesty. Even
radical
if it's
honesty.
Tough. Brutal honesty. Like, it wasn't supposed to be hurtful honesty, but like, we had just listened to a podcast like two weeks ago, and I was trying to work on, you know, but I was brutal honest in my hurt ego, not from a loving place.
I just heard this. I'm going to let you finish really quickly. I just heard this on a podcast that I was listening to, that honesty in marriage is spelled T-A-C-T.
Tact.
Oh,
if you didn't get that.
You
tact.
And I completely like that.
So
that is true. Right?
That's
because
true.
If you do it wrong, you don't get to hear it at all.
Nope.
Right? Yep. And what it was is I had let social media infiltrate my ego. Mm-hmm. And when she didn't react like these strangers.
You let social media penetrate you.
Penetrate.
I'll tell you that. After you're done, I'll tell you why I said that.
Bench-ass joke.
It's my new thing. It's my new thing.
So I had to really check myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like the birthday thing. Like, I was buying the gift for myself. Mm-hmm. She was the default recipient.
Absolutely.
It was an ego boost to me. And when she called me on that, sometimes your spouse calls you on something that is true, but you hadn't really, like, been that honest with yourself, you can't even respond in truth. You
got to
protect your ego first.
Yet.
I was like, nah.
Just got to walk away.
Yeah. Yes. You know what I mean? So how does social media penetrate me?
So, you ever seen the show, The Chi?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, great show. I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the old boy is selling the what ends up being fake Jordans out the back of the truck, right?
Oh, yeah.
The dude walks up. He's like, bro, these ain't real. He's like, what are you talking about? These are real. What are you talking about? These are real. He's like, you trying to penetrate me? He's like, you
oh, no, it's a penetrator like, fraud. You no, trying to no, penetrate
no. He's like, he's like, no, he's like, you trying to penetrate me? He's like, perpetrate you? He's like, you know, man, penetrator fraud. You trying to, he's like, you mean perpetrator fraud?
That's been Chad's so that's like my running new thing. Thing. Like, every you trying to time penetrate me? He says that. Like, the funniest. I have not seen the show. I guess I should watch
it's
it.
It's a great show.
We stopped watching it. At least I did. Did you continue?
No.
I knew it. He ain't no good.
Honesty.
Okay. He ain't no good.
Tact.
It's okay, hard. So there's too many shows to watch together.
So you don't feel like, so what it seems like is that you don't feel like that matters. You can get married at 29. You can get married at 19. What matters is the foundation. It's 100%. Not about the well, age I feel like of the...
Regardless of what time you get married, it's going to come with its own set of struggles.
Yeah.
So if you get married at 29, that struggle could be the person you were before you got married. You get married at 19, it's the person you're becoming while you're married. Like, mm-hmm. Nobody's exempt. It's just not because we were young and marriage was so much easier.
Right.
Like, we still have our things that might not be difficult for you are very difficult right. for us because, you know, we're becoming more of who we are meant to be later in life, but therefore further along in our marriage when it's harder to change, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, one of the things that I'm toying with what I want to call it, but in the last podcast, I call it like the second wind of your relationship. Mm. And I think it is the rebirth is maybe Kirkland. What I'll go
yeah,
with.
I like
the rebirth of your marriage. And I feel like that's the season that we're in. And I don't think it matters to the point of being young married or older married in that we all go into, I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of people go into marriage with these preconceived notions of what marriage is and these what it means. I said this just recently, what it means to be wife, what it means to be a husband, what this marriage will be. And as you grow together and those definitions are able to fall away and you're able to have this rebirth where you're fully yourself, your spouse then is fully themselves, and then you create this new marriage, this new meaning where you are both fully, this is everything
this
I
is
am.
It. Yeah. This it's is all out on all the table. Take
the
it or
good,
leave it.
The bad, the ugly, but I want you to see all of me. And your spouse says this, the good, the bad, the ugly, this is all of me. And I say, I'm with it. And he says, I'm with it. Yeah. And then you create this new relationship. Yeah. And I feel like that's the phase of our relationship. And it's my favorite phase because I no longer feel like I have to pretend. Mm. I no longer feel like I'm trying to let go of pieces
mask
of myself.
Is off.
Or the mask is off.
Off.
And
mask
not just
off.
That.
Exactly.
Mask
not just in terms of like hiding, but trying to like be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I need to cook. I need to clean. Yeah. I need to do this. And I need to do, and this is what, and my kids need to get perfect grades. And my kids.
Yeah.
Listen.
Scratch all of that.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's not real life.
That's not real life. Mm-hmm. So let's come to the table and create something new.
Yeah.
And once you're in that phase, that's the best phase.
Yeah.
And it takes both of you being in agreement in that. Yes. Like, because one person can get to that and the other person is not there yet.
100%.
So then it's like a struggle. Because are you going to hang in there while your spouse gets to where you are? 100%. Are you going to be understanding?
Yeah.
Are you going to be compassionate?
Yep.
Or are you just going to be like, I'm done. Like, I can't do this.
Which reminds
anymore.
Me, oh, so good. I actually wanted to talk about this on our podcast, but what you just said speaks to, I believe, the phase. Listen, I don't know them from Adam, but what I see from the outside looking in with Kanye and Kim.
Mm.
They're on this journey.
Yep.
They both started here. And somehow Kanye has decided he is loving Jesus and he is on a different path. And so they have to reconcile those two things. And they have to, somebody has to decide, I'm going to stick this out.
Right.
And so until our paths meet again and we can create something new.
Yeah.
Because Kanye will never be who he once was.
No.
Ever.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
This encounter, this whatever is happening, and
I'm not here
to say, I believe it is the Lord, but I'm also not here to say for the people that's like, that ain't the Lord, it's a show.
You don't know what the Lord is for him.
Well, I'm not here to.
Why is it so easy for us to do that? That's
so
a whole other conversation.
And I'm not here to even judge the authenticity.
Yeah. The album was great.
We're struggling with these words.
Of his relationship with the Lord. That's not my position.
And you should hope that he loves the Lord.
I do.
We really matter. Oh, you like Jesus now?
All of a sudden, right.
You are way brighter for the Lord.
Money with Jesus. Like, what difference does it make?
Oh, now he saved your soul.
Now you walking with Jesus?
Yes, because that's what Jesus does. He saves your soul. That's exactly what he does.
It is crazy. But that aside.
Yeah.
That aside.
He's having a moment.
Yep.
Right.
And that moment has allowed him to be on a different path than Kim. And they have to figure that out. And they got married much older in life. That's you see what I'm saying?
That's
and so
true.
You're all, so again, they're going to have to go through that rebirth that I was just talking about. Hey, I know this is who I was before, but this is who I am today. Well, listen, I'm still who I was. Actually, and low key, she's changing
she's
too.
She's still changing. Yeah.
She's changing.
She's
just
not
she's
there.
Going to law school and trying to help prison reform and having
and
this
she recently
moment.
Said that she wanted to stop dressing the way that
so
she dressed.
Sexy.
She said she recently said that she wanted to stop dressing
that,
so sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
I'm sure that
it was her choice. Her choice. She said she wanted to.
I don't believe
Kimberly.
I didn't know. But what I'm saying is they're both, and it's easy during those times of transition. Ooh, a whole word. Transition. It's already going to weaken the base.
Yeah.
When things are altering, when things are shifting, when things are changing, that's an earthquake.
Yeah. Easy to run.
Your foundation is going to shake.
That's
things are going to rock. And you have to decide in the aftermath when things can, when you can assess the damage that we're going to rebuild together.
What is so funny? They
me and Josh always have like, inside stuff. It's weird on other people's podcasts because we can't stop it.
So Josh is filming. So in case
Josh is our head of production.
Yeah, he's actually filming, getting all the sound good for us.
Always talk to each other.
So Josh is not normally on our podcast.
That's funny because you guys talk and I just look at Josh and Serena and be like,
really?
Like what?
We're podcasting. Right
so anyway,
hilarious.
That was my
that's
earthquake.
And it's easy to run from the earthquake when it's happening.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you feel unsafe. You feel unsteady.
I ain't got to stay here with this.
That worked on so many levels.
It does.
And you know what's funny? Like, so me and Melissa have had various times that we've been changing. Like, In her idea, I was going to be like her dad in the sense of her dad. Both our parents are in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that she took on was the military provides financial stability and like so much stability.
Yeah,
financial, house, healthcare, food. Like your basic tenants are going to be covered. You might not be rich, but you're going to eat
stable life,
warm. You're going to be, so she adopted that. Like, oh, my dad's in the military. Everybody around me. Nobody's ever poor, hungry. Like, you know what I'm saying? Nobody's really balling, but we're cool.
We're good.
So in her mind, I was going to do that same thing. And when we first started, you know, being married, I was doing that. But I was always an ambitious.
First started being married.
I was always an ambitious entrepreneur. I just didn't have the outlet at first. So, of course, I got to take care of my wife and, you know, or not take care of her, but help pay the rent. So I worked a regular job. But then, you know, lo and behold, I start growing as a comedian and performing all that stuff. And then I get fired. And she's expecting me to say, oh, I'm going to just go work at another bank. And I'll do that now because that's what stable people do. And I say, you know what? I think this is God giving us an opportunity to chase our dreams. Amen. You know, he opened the door for me to walk out.
Like, no, you just got fired.
It's like, well, my God is saying you need to get a
job. You know what I mean? So what she had to realize or what she realized is, you know, I don't think he's going to ever be able to work a regular job forever and be happy.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to accept that this person is ambitious by nature. This is before it actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It took many years before like this was beneficial to her.
Yeah.
You know, the majority of it was like a couple of dollars. Yeah. You know, this was a YouTube partner program. Like we were talking about on ours, 15,000 subs.
Yeah,
when you finally broke
through. You had to get up in there. Yeah.
It was like
let's sit on that for
$3.
Just a quick second. Look how good God is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It takes effort and time. It's not overnight.
What if Melissa would have said, I can't.
Oh, she wouldn't be right here.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
we wouldn't even be in LA, much less in our own studio.
It's the tipping point. Like,
absolutely.
What are you going to do?
So she supported me through that change. And then when she started changing, I supported her.
Yeah.
You know, another podcast friend of ours, they said you need to give your partner grace.
We said space and grace.
Space and grace and support.
She added support.
And as they changed, as Melissa started to be like, you know, I don't want to write a book. I want to express myself creatively.
Yeah.
At first, that was haphazard. You know, when we were in Washington, she was like, I want to start my own business. And she had like a little black dress thing. She's like, I'm going to sell fancy dresses to women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she bought this book about, you know.
Drop shipping
and finances. And then she was like, man, I ain't trying to do all that. Then she was selling weed for a minute. I felt like she had me doing runs. I felt like we were selling drugs. By the way, there's a lot of money. in selling weed.
Oh, absolutely. But
there is more money in the fraud of people buying the weed and saying they didn't get the product. They be in the ground wearing your weed like, I never got it. But you have the buzz. I never
got it. But you're wearing it in your post.
I can see my tag.
Is that a thing?
We had got it. They put us out of the business.
No way.
The amount of people who said they didn't get their product and we're wearing it. I know. I see you. I see it.
We're not doing that.
You're wearing the bundle. What bundle? Why are you shaking your head? I don't know.
So this is my head.
Right. So I had to support her as she finally figured it out. Mm-hmm. What she wanted to do was teach and speak to women, but that took some years of her, like, you know, she had business accounts. We was doing all type of stuff. But I had to give her the same support she gave me, and it's that whole eternal ebb and flow of marriage is learning to love your spouse like at the current version.
Yeah, and I think that's what you guys said, the grace piece. Mm-hmm. Why is it so hard for spouses to give the same amount of grace to their husband or wife as they do to their ratchet friends or their sometimes good friends? Like, think about it.
You ain't gotta live with them, though.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, you like, friends will get off the hook, like,
they will.
Yeah.
Like, so quick. But spouses will be on the hook for a week, 2 weeks for the smallest things.
I think because the expectation is so high and just how we have placed so much marriage is like the pinnacle. It is the top of the top.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're my husband. You can't do that.
So unrealistic expectations.
It's unrealistic expectations.
That change affects you. Your ratchet friends changes
don't really
directly affect you as much as your spouses do.
Yeah.
When Melissa became Melissa 2.0, and that, like, the old quiet timid version of her was gone.
And
that version allowed me to get away with a lot of stuff. The reason I was able to give her the gift that she didn't end up liking is because for 20 years she let me give her gifts that she would never say, I don't like this.
Ooh.
She would just say thank you. So I've been accustomed to her saying thank you.
Yeah.
So it didn't really matter what you thought, because you never said nothing boo. You never said boo about it.
Right.
But if every year I bought her a gift, she's like, oh, Kev, this ain't really what I want, then I'd have taken more time to get the perfect gift for her. You know what I mean? But
not
now
just that, I would have allowed you, to actually get to know me.
Yeah.
And so when we are putting on
intimacy, right.
When we put on these facades, and there was a point where I felt isolated, I felt lonely, I felt like, I don't know what we're doing. I feel like I'm married, but y'all, it's just me. And it's because I'm not fully expressing who I am.
Yeah.
And there's only a certain level of intimacy that you can get to if I'm fully myself.
Yeah.
So true.
One of the things that sexologist Shamira, she was on our podcast, she talks about intimacy means being seen, being heard, being valued. If I'm only letting you get here, you're not fully seeing me.
No.
Yeah.
You're not
so
hearing
much that
me.
You're missing.
Yes, if I'm muting myself, you're not hearing me.
So then you're not,
you know what I mean? And so there's only a certain level, and that's isolating.
Yeah.
That's loneliness.
Yeah.
And so you have to recognize, I have a responsibility in this too.
So,
I have to use my voice and say, see me, hear me.
Yeah, because that can only last for so long.
Absolutely.
It's like you only hear
for
so long. It
lasts for 15 years of our marriage, but year 16.
That's a blessing that it lasted that long, but it's like at the end of the day, like, then things start happening, and I can't really fault you because you don't know.
Right.
You don't know how I'm feeling on the inside.
Because she never told me.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
But you know what's interesting about it?
No.
Because of our, like, my stand-up comedy success, it required us to tour. And we were traveling on the road a lot. And what happened was the amount of intimacy we had when we saw each other every day for 15 years was fine.
Mm.
But now when I'm spending a third of my year on the road, that superficial stuff, Melissa basically said, that's not going to hold us anymore. Because I only see you for the full day on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Mm. Monday and Thursday are often
travel
day.
There has to be really deep connection.
So the time we have together, it has to be deep. It has to be valuable. So it can't be high by how's the weather. Did you see the Kardashians? It's got
to
be, what are your fears? And I'm like, my fears? What happened with your real dad? How does that make you feel? Ma'am?
Right,
we don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that on Tuesdays.
It's just Tuesday.
Tuesday is Taco Tuesday. We don't talk about anything deep.
Tuesday. We spent 15 years not talking about my real dad. Let's make it 16.
Now you
want
to talk about it? Right?
I ain't finna go down that deep dark path. Girls, you crazy. What up with that guacamole? Tacos sound
that's,
good.
That, that I know, right? You got me thinking about tacos. We got lunch in the other room.
We got lunch in the other room. Yeah, I don't even know how long we've been filming at this point.
I mean,
Josh?
Huh? Oh, well, so we should go ahead and start wrapping this up.
52 minutes already?
It was 52 minutes. This is a good conversation. Like, well, I just want to make sure that I'm covering, you know, because I know that so many people, you guys have wanted us to talk about this, and I hope that we're doing it justice, because here's the thing, like, marriages sometimes end in divorce. And just because you are seeing multiple people who put themselves out there.
That is true.
Going through that, it doesn't mean that this is brand new. It doesn't mean that because they're on YouTube, it's happening, or because they're a celebrity, it's happening. Like, people have been going through divorce since the beginning of time. So, you know what I'm saying? It's amplified because that's what you're watching, but not necessarily.
It's not new.
Yeah, it's not new. You know what I'm saying? So y'all having a whole nother conversation. Like, what are y'all talking
about? I was trying to interrupt you for 2 minutes. I was like,
but she is so strong. She is uninterruptible.
She's uninterruptible.
I love it. I did, but the fact that you forged ahead.
She is not. She was like, bro, I stand. I'm talking.
No, if Gabriel does not want to get interrupted, you are not interrupted.
I literally did not even hear you.
She tunes people out. She tuned you
that
out.
That is so crazy. Okay, go for it.
I just wanted to say something that I found really interesting. This isn't shade at all. We did the Black Love season, this season.
Which is awesome.
Great. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really, really, really great. And one thing that happened is during the season, one of the couples that was on there got divorced. And it was like a sobering reminder, like, this show is a celebration of marriage, but sometimes even people who are on TV talk, because usually Black Love is positivity and here's where we came from, here's how we made it, but also sometimes Black Love fails.
Yeah.
And the people who are on TV that we idolized last season or two episodes ago, like, they got divorced while the season was airing.
Wow.
And it was just like, you know what? Like, because we shot ours in February.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago in our, in like time and in
things can happen.
So many, life especially happens. If you could just hold it together for that. You know, it was a 1 day shoot for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, you can hold it together. If you have problems before that and after,
it's still going to continue.
It's still going to continue. You done forgot the show was even coming out.
Exactly.
And it was very sobering to realize, like, even these people that are, you know, happy in this and their living rooms are nice, all of them are nicer than ours. Terry Crews, man, just take it easy, bro.
Man.
His background compared to ours, it was so
crazy.
A grand piano.
Here we are in this rinky-dank room. Like,
Terry Crews, just our blinds.
He's got but he's got a story, man.
I know.
I read an article about, like, it was like a fitness article, but he kind of touched about his, you know, growing up. He got a story.
He deserves that grand piano. All I'm saying is they didn't have to face it that way.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, because we didn't have, that was the only way we could even fit the cameras. And this is the backyard. We don't have no other place to face it. But I said all that to say, like, sometimes it's a sober reminder that sometimes, and that's why we celebrate our anniversary.
Yeah.
Because it's good or a bad of a year you have, you made it to that next year. You got to celebrate. Whatever you can, because for the majority of our marriage, the celebration was small.
Yeah.
It was like endless shrimp.
This is like
$12 at Red Lobster. Like,
you better get them Cheddar Bay biscuits, shrimp. Okay?
Ain't nothing wrong with Red Lobster.
Biscuits are
award winning.
Great for us.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I think it's so true. Like, that's why we support and are so happy about love and try so hard to help people.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to stay married.
Yeah.
It's society's designed for you to be okay. Like, you know, there's not even the social stigma of divorce anymore. People actually
give this normal for norm. People expect it.
You ain't happy, leave.
They're like, wait a minute. Y'all,
it's the first option for so many couples.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If they're not happy, we'll just get divorced.
Yeah.
Like,
it shouldn't be an option, but it should definitely be that last option if it's on the table for some reason.
It's not illegal.
No, I mean, like, you can do it.
You can do it.
You can totally do it.
You can be happy. You can be married to somebody else.
30 days in, you could be like, you know what? This ain't for me.
Never mind.
29, you probably get a no.
82 days.
That's what I'm saying. It's true. Like.
But I do want to, like, to continue to tie in our two podcasts. Like, there was a point I wanted to make on the last one.
Did you remember it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
do
I do.
Okay.
I wrote it down. I put it in the phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, my phone addiction. And I think, and I wanted to say it's because we had another great conversation on this podcast. Mm-hmm. So their podcast was a great conversation, and ours was as well, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens, I'm going to give an example. How many of us have been to been with a group of friends at a house party and everybody yelling over each other to talk about one thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is anybody mad because they can't get their word in? Do they feel like you're talking over them or stepping over them? No. It's a conversation.
It's a conversation.
A good conversation. So when people watch and you want to judge somebody for talking over someone, it's just a good conversation.
You know what? That is so good.
It's just a good conversation.
It's just a good conversation.
We never get mad when that happens.
You're excited.
You're just trying to, you know what I'm saying?
You're excited to be in it. So think of it that way instead of thinking of it as, you know, talking over someone. No, y'all are just enjoying each other's company.
I was trying to talk over her. She didn't even hear me.
I literally didn't even hear her.
That's what I'm saying.
That is such a good point.
That's why I wanted to bring that up, because I feel like it's important, because we got the same thing that Gabriel talks over me.
We're
just having a conversation and she's excited to be in that conversation. Yeah. And
that's
so
what it is. More than, like, I think people expect the journalistic integrity of Barbara Walters or Oprah interviewing
right,
someone.
There ain't no interview.
Man, I did not go to school for this. Exactly. I'm just recording me talking to someone else.
Just talking.
Keep your expectations at that level and you'll never be disappointed.
Never.
That's
I am not Joe Rogan.
This
I don't know
not
how
2020,
he does that.
Okay.
I want to talk too.
Yes,
I didn't
exactly.
have you here so you can say all the words. I'm saying stuff.
Yeah. I'm not a mute. I want to say things.
But that's so true. We got to make sure to say that on the Love Hour.
That's, but the that's thing, a good I one. Am working on it. Because
don't do it anymore. He gave us license.
No,
just a conversation because, that you're privy to.
No, seriously, you are excited about a conversation, Melissa. Yeah. You do not have to think you're talking over someone.
Oh God,
you're just having a good conversation.
This conversation
happy, okay?
Never feel that way.
Never feel that way.
Never. You'll end the conversation like, I don't appreciate you cutting me off.
We were at our house. There's a video of Melissa. We were having some discussion about relationships. I don't remember what my homeboy said, but it set Melissa and her sister off. They was full black girl. I turned the sound off because it was so, he was talking about being respectable. No, I just made the capture about Beyonce. It wasn't really about her.
Oh.
People just inferred that because Melissa was arguing about Beyonce when we were in Spain. And she was making the most ridiculous argument. Oh, it was Mel's, the Melissa's sister, Melanie. They're at a wedding at a table.
That's
and
right.
And a woman was like flirting with her husband, and she brought two drinks, one for her, one for her husband.
Stop lying.
And
for my brother-in-law.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Right? My boy Sosa was like, how is that disrespectful? And Melissa was like, see? You see what Gabe just did? That's exactly what Melissa did.
That's hilarious.
That's exactly
our literal response.
Are you serious?
So there was like eight people in my living room. We're all yelling, fussing, and it never crossed my mind that I'd
why are you talking over me?
Yeah,
no one ever said that. You're just trying to get your words in when you can.
In case you don't think that that's disrespectful, it is disrespectful, okay?
Well, she's stuck
don't
on that.
Don't you ever buy a married man a drink unless you buy it a drink for us.
Literally what
like,
Melissa said.
Don't do that.
That's
drinks
weird. Yeah,
for
that's
everyone.
So
at this table.
Everyone.
Right.
Everyone. Everyone.
For you,
the table,
for you
me
to bring my... What do you think I'm here for? Like, I'm...
See, she's going to be hot.
Don't get me started.
She's going to be in the car.
Yeah, that's disrespectful.
I
very disrespectful.
Period.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I don't want your drink.
I'm not thirsty.
I want your drink.
Mel said
take a sip of that drink if you want to.
I don't want your drink.
Take a sip of that drink if you want to. You better pass it to me.
Yeah.
Literally what they said. Gabe would have fit perfectly in. She was just in all the women said all that stuff.
So... Yes, I mean that's a conversation,
hilarious.
Y'all.
It's
a conversation.
It's a conversation.
That's
so
good.
I think this is good. I just to wrap up the actual topic is just to think about that. Like when you're watching somebody, or if you know somebody personally, nobody knows what happens behind closed doors in a marriage. Nobody knows. Even if you think you've seen everything, nobody. Like even if you think you've seen everything, you haven't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just think about that. Like marriage is sacred. And there are so many different levels. And if you don't have that foundation, so for those that are not married, focus on the foundation
100%.
When you get that person, because that's what's going to carry you through the ebbs and flows and all of the changes and things like that. So I do want to bring back Ask Gabe and Babe, because we haven't done it in a long time. And I think it would be great to get different perspective. Every now and then we have our peeps send in their issues. And I think we've got a good one for this one. So
we're going to limit answers to 13 seconds apiece.
Okay.
And we're not going to talk over each other. It's disrespectful.
Okay, so this is from Crystal. Hey, girl. And I don't know if you want your name read, so we'll see.
So we'll just say Crystal.
My husband and I have been married for 5 years. We have 3 kids, ages 4, 2, and 5 months old. Our two oldest have birthdays in January. Oh, okay, you have January birthdays like us. My husband has been very removed and not present at all, even when he's at home. He's shared that he's not fulfilled career-wise, but he's happy at home. I know he needs time to unwind when he gets home, but he's now spending zero time with me and the kids. We are also in a tough financial situation, and he uses that as a reason why he can't help. We can't do things as a family. So how do I help him become more engaged? can I truly help him? I know he's struggling because he feels he's not providing, but how can I, like, what can I do to help him deal with that?
I think that piggybacks off of our our last podcast talking about depression and anxiety.
Oh yeah.
It sounds to me that for a man that loves his family, and you can contest, you said this in your podcast, your number one goal is to for them to not need or want for anything. Mm-hmm. You want them to be comfortable. If Melissa wants to sit at home, if Gabriel wants to sit at home, do nothing, I want to be able to give her that life.
Right.
Right. Like, that's just, you know, as a man, I got them. I have to have them. There's no other choice.
Yes.
And if you feel like you're not doing enough, or you're inadequate, you know, in being a husband or a provider, mm-hmm. no matter what, how manly man of a guy you are, that can bring on depression. It can bring on anxiety. And I think that what we talked about is that depression is there's different levels of depression.
Right.
You can be depressed and not realize it. You can be depressed and just be in denial. Mm-hmm. I think that my advice would be is that be supportive, you know, let him know that you're there for him. But then also, you know, maybe talk to him about, look, we cannot be this way every day. Like, this is not something, we can't just live this way. You can't just shut off. We love you for who you are, not for what you're doing. Like, you know, we need you to, let's talk to somebody. We'll talk to somebody together. Let's find advice to figure out why you feel this way. Because we feel like you're doing enough, but you don't feel like you are. So that's something we need to figure out. I mean, you can't just expect things to change if you're not going to, you know, address the bigger issue.
Yeah.
That was a lot of great things. Mm-hmm. The only thing I want to add is sometimes in marriage, there's parts that you want to fix in your spouse that you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you cannot make your husband feel more fulfilled at his career.
Mm-hmm.
And just accepting that I can't do that for you. There's me and Melissa were talking about her and me and what, you know, things we want and expressing ourselves. And I remember one time I was trying to get her to do something in the bedroom, and she was like, I need to own this part of my sexuality and my life.
Yeah.
You can't be a part of that. You can't help me get there. This is something I can do only. And I think the suggestion of therapy and things like that support and letting somebody know it's okay for you to do that. I support you. We value you without your career. That part is helpful. But the internal wrestling of that is might be something you can't help with. And sometimes just accepting that I can't do that for you.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, I think Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith said something. They were, and I had never thought of it like this. They said, I'm not responsible for your happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I am responsible for my happiness. Mm-hmm. You are responsible for your happiness. And then we can come together. Indeed. But I cannot make you happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was like, oh, snap. Like, so true. Because I've owned that. For Melissa, like, you know, we get, especially men, I need to fix this. I need to do this for you. I need to, like, Melissa don't want to be fixed.
And she's not a project.
She's not a project.
I ain't broken. How about that?
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Catch me.
And also, you're never going to be told that you're broken. You have to figure out yourself if you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you realize that you're broken or you have some issues, you have to come to that realization.
Yeah.
That's it. Nobody else can make you feel that.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Do you want to say words?
Yeah,
no, I think you guys have given great words of advice, especially coming from the male's perspective, because I think that was
absolutely the
question. So I don't want to say this is what you need to do to make your man feel better. I think you guys have
You
done
know
a
what's
great
funny
job.
About that? Back to me trying to get a house in LA. Melissa, we're having a lot of like, our kids are growing.
Mm-hmm.
They want their own space for the first time ever. They said they want, my oldest wants his own room. My youngest was just like,
wow,
you traitor. we've shared for so long. How could you, right? And Melissa was, you know, complaining about space and stuff, like legitimate complaints. And I was like, I'm going on tour next year. And, you know, we were talking about like the kind of deals I want to take, you know, because there's prestige plays you play at theaters, mm-hmm. but there's more actual money playing in either churches or stand-up comedy clubs.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, I want you to do this. And so I'm like, I want to get you a house. So I got to get as much money as possible. Prestige don't pay no bills. I can't say, hey, I got, you know, man, I played the Fox Theater down in Detroit. Well, did you get the money for the rim? No,
$35.
That ain't the point.
Money water.
They paid
there.
For my Ubers back
you
and forth.
You know what I mean? And I told her, I said, nobody carries the burden of the house more than me.
Mm-hmm. You're not even complaining. You're not even really upset. You're just complaining like, you know, man, this closet's small.
Yeah.
My kids are like, man, the door's stuck. Little stuff.
Yeah.
And all I hear is, you got to take care of this. You personally.
How are you going to change it?
How are you, Kevin, going to fix not you and mommy? Because the kids ain't looking at me, at her. The sink don't work. And then we had a pipe burst in our garage. And my youngest son was like, this house is falling apart, man.
Really?
He was like, the toilet thing broke. The door stuck. We got a busted pipe.
But like, you got a roof over your head, right. though.
He ain't tripping, but he was like, the busted pipe was like, this is unusual stuff. Like, there's literally water like,
okay,
pouring
guys,
into
it's
the,
time to get out.
Right. So, and then they went house looking one day in L.A.
Oh.
They taking pictures and videos. Y'all like, bro, y'all go down to Inglewood. You don't be going up Porter Ranch. You go down there south of the 105. You want a home.
Warn all the real estate agents.
Hey, do not let them in any houses.
Don't even show them nothing that don't have bars. I need a little character in my neighborhood. I want an area that Kendrick Lamar names in his albums.
Shut up.
If he don't mention one of the neighborhoods, then we can't.
If it don't look like the houses from All American, you see All American? If it don't look like one of them houses, we don't need it.
Did Kendrick Lamar mention it in Good Kid, Mad City? If not, we're not moving there. but there's nothing she can do about that. Because she's not even adding to it. It's my own.
It's your own thing.
It's my own thing. It's part of the way we're raised as men. Like, I own the house part. Yeah. If I got to kill myself on the road to make y'all have the house that I feel like you deserve, Melissa can't, even if she never complained, when the door sticks, I feel like, man, I got to get
Man, I'm failing them. They got
failing them. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, cool.
Yeah, well, I think that was a good answer, Crystal. Hopefully that helps you out. You guys, if you have any more dilemmas or situations you're in and you'd like to get our input, you can always email us at letsmakeoutpodcast@gmail.com with the hashtag Ask Gabe and Babe as the subject line. We would love to cover that. And thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, watching this episode. I'm going to go ahead and let you guys tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me at Miss Kev on Stage on all social media platforms.
Kev on Stage on everything but TikTok. It's Kev on something else.
Did somebody take your name?
TikToker took my name.
Don't you hate that?
Like, bro, you ain't Kev on Stage,
I got on TikTok and Gabe Flowers was gone. I was like, but who are you,
like,
though?
Kev on Stage is never
who
gone.
Who are you? I don't That's even know funny. What TikTok is, but I was like, let me just
I think it's Kev on TikTok. I ain't even make no TikToks because my name wasn't there. I don't want to have to tell people to go to a new place. I ain't want to be on TikTok to begin with.
Right.
It's for the children.
That's funny.
But we do not make videos for kids.
It is not for children, okay? Great.
This is not for kids.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. He had you, though.
I got you.
So you guys make sure that you check out the episode that we did with them on their podcast,
yes,
The Love
we'll
Hour
link
podcast.
It. We'll link it down below.
Put it in the show notes. Put it in the description box and all that good stuff.
Thank you so much for being on here. We really appreciate it.
We're not talking over each other, man. It's just a conversation.
That's the thing
I will not forget.
This was a great conversation, too. Okay.
Wait, say what you were saying again.
Nah, it's gone.
Yeah, what? I'm sorry.
All right, y'all. Yes. Thank you
bye
for
bye.
Watching
the
listening.
See you next
we'll
time on the
Get
Let's Make Out Podcast.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.